The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make it. You, Mr. Chimura, are one of one. I was trying to think if this would happen to any of us. What happened to you over the weekend? And, well, Gabe, it would be tough. It would be tough.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Joshy, probably not you yet either. And my children are too little. One of them can't read, so that helps. Chewy, what happened to you this weekend?
I don't know if it's an inappropriate text, because it wasn't inappropriate for my wife.
I mean, no matter how you cut it.
It might have been for...
No matter how you cut it, it's still inappropriate.
This is... You know what? Here's one... Kids need to realize that parents like the frog. Now, I understand it was gross back in the day because people, like, the idea of my parents doing it is, I agree.
So
but today, people are in shape. Hold on. Today, people are in shape.
Okay.
Okay?
Oh, this is just
40s,
an
they're in
thing.
Shape. 50s, they're in shape. Even 60s, they're in shape. Okay? And I get it back in the day because when Alice was on the Brady Bunch and she was 45 years old, she looked 70. So we are conditioned. Now, it's kind of a beautiful thing. I ain't gonna lie. So if I text my wife my thoughts and she puts one of our son in the text chain where I really don't look, I just text. That's not really on me. I think it was a sweet text. You guys read the text. It was very nice. So?
In a way, sure. I mean, it was complimentary. I'll say that. I don't know if I would describe that as a sweet gesture that you were, you know.
No sweetness.
Yeah.
No.
There's a little barbaric.
Yeah.
A little like. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was insulting. Yeah. I don't think it was bad. Wait, I just don't think the word I would use is.
I was showing a lot of.
A lot of what?
You always say your chin. There's something about the chin. What do you say about the chin?
It pops out every now and then.
Okay, so there's a lot of chin popping out, if you will, if you catch my drift.
When she texts me a wink of an eye or something like that, I get excited. I mean, I think it's a good thing. Your spouse showing interest in you. That's all I was doing. And it's not really... And I told him to delete the text before he looked.
But Chewy...
Which he should have did,
Chewy,
but he
didn't. You sent us the screenshot of the text that you sent back. And it's not like she sent you anything like that would... potentially set you off. You said, you said, oh, if she sends me a wink emoji, it's just, when do you think we will leave? I am fine in the sun, but just curious.
And you said you guys were at the beach, right?
Yeah, we were watching the game at the beach. Okay. And we were sitting separately, so she was, because she wanted to get sun, she was about 30 feet behind me. Wearing yoga pants, which is a problem, because I really like my wife.
That's
in yoga
entrapment.
Pants.
That's entrapment.
So,
what's that?
When you look,
drop that
when
we
you
have
look
about
at
a nuisance, a attractive nuisance.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Those yoga pants are an attractive nuisance, Chew.
So, Gabe, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Why can you call Giannis a little horny boy and you can't call me a horny boy?
Oh no, we will.
Because of my age?
No, I mean,
no, we're getting there.
Look, I'm not saying you're not.
Yeah.
If you want to be that, I mean, we can give you the title if that's what you would like. I mean, we can certainly bestow that upon you.
So the entire issue is the fact that she included one of our sons on the text chain.
Yeah, but
the issue is that you didn't see at the top of the text chain both little bubbles, one that represents your wife, one that represents your kid, and then you said, babe, still bleeping horny.
What's wrong with that? Kids need to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, especially...
Follow up with...
And my kids are conditioned. They're conditioned. Because there was a time... We have one son, the oldest, who's omnipresent. He's a sidler. He's just always there. You turn around and he's there.
Okay.
Right? So this is probably, probably 10, 12, 10 years ago. He walked into the bedroom unannounced. Angie was in the shower, and she blurted out something along the lines of that and didn't realize that our oldest son was in there because he's omnipresent. So they're kind of conditioned, and he was fine. I think they get it now. I think they know where kids come from. So I think we're all...
It's part of your job, I think.
Hold on. Are you guys going to tell me you've never sent a text that went to the wrong person?
I have sent a text to the wrong person.
I don't think I've done anything that would cause any emotional damage to anyone with that text.
So I've never done that where I'm talking about my sex life, one.
Wait.
And two, it's never been my kid who's been on the text chain, right? Like, look, I do think there is something to be said for your kids being aware that you and your spouse like each other, love each other, mm-hmm. are attracted to each other. I think that sends a good message to the next generation, right? I'm not speaking specifically for me, but there are a lot of people who grew up knowing their parents hated each other.
Sure.
Knowing that they were just mm-hmm. staying together for the kids, right? So to know that your parents still want to, you know, get it on. I think that's good. I think that's good. I don't think you need to be confronted with it in this way. I think a little pinch of the butt, you know, occasionally is good. And like those things are good. But this was very overt. This was like...
Explicit.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's the perfect word for it. Very explicit. This text message should have come with a warning to the child before he opened it.
The last text, or second to last text I sent, was very complimentary.
Yeah, again, I wouldn't describe that as necessarily sweet, but it's very complimentary. But then when you realized what was going on, and you text, bleep, Nolan, delete this, as if he wouldn't read the text messages in order.
A, I think 10% of our listeners have done this, and B, I don't like lingerie. I would rather her getting with yoga pants. And I think a lot of people are with me.
Terrific. Great.
Didn't need that detail. Did not need that one.
I don't know why you think oversharing right now would be the best defense.
So, Chewy, you are convinced that you're not the only person who has done this, right? Meanwhile, your colleagues, your partners, your co-hosts, all believe that you are the only person that this has ever happened to. And it's the specificity of the message. Babe, still bleeping horny. I love your you-know-what. And then you say,
I don't think I'm alone.
Bleep, Nolan, disregard that.
Hey, kid, delete this.
There's also something.
You just cannot be trusted with technology, man.
No. Like, I'm the elder statesman by quite a bit here.
So we're supposed to respect you?
Why are you guys more embarrassed about this than I am?
Well, I'm not embarrassed. I just think it's hilarious.
Josh is very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yeah. I want to put this out there. I have no interest in knowing when any of my coworkers are horny.
Thank you. Never. Never want to know. 100%. Keep that bleep to yourself.
I would rather pretend you never get that way. That is a place I would rather exist in. And two, there's something about the way you talk so plainly is of your generation only. Just, I love your ass is such an absurd thing to say to somebody. Like, I think if I said that to Mussolini, she'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
You'd go, no, I was talking to the dog.
It's just not how you talk that I know. It's so not normal to me.
The best part is like he first responded to the initial text of, hey, do you want to stay
business
here?
Business as usual.
Like, yeah, just texting, and then all of a sudden slides in that, oh, by the way, if you're looking to get out of here.
You barely took a breath between talking logistics and then the romp you're trying to have when you get back to the place.
Hold on, I'm sweating.
Now you are getting uncomfortable. Oh, God. So again, his wife asked, when do you want to leave the beach? She's fine staying. Just wondering. Chewy responds with, why don't we just do early dinner? We're having a good time. So whenever you want to leave, we can leave. Like, that comma is doing a lot of work.
Just hanging on for dear life.
Comma, babe, still bleeping horny.
Do I overshare?
Yeah.
But we love it. It helps us out.
Okay. I can't wait for Ashton's response.
So we're going to put this on.
Do not bring this up or don't talk about it.
Too late.
So we're going to put this on the Jen Gave It Chewy Twitter poll because you believe that you are not the only person to have dropped an inappropriate text in a group text chain and then been like, oopsie poopsie, don't even read that, delete and disregard, which of course can't happen because he has already read through the text messages that you have sent. I think you're one of one, big guy. I don't think this is happening to anybody but you. Because most people, and this really is the thing, most people are more observant than you are when it comes to the text. And most people would see the bubble up top that doesn't just have your wife's beautiful little emoji there. It also has your son's adorable picture.
He is a small child in this picture.
He's a youngster.
He is a small child.
In a baseball shirt, just way too innocent for all the stuff you just shoved in his face.
But here's the crazy part about Chewy. Yes, he doesn't pay attention to these texts, but then if we've got somebody like filling in on the show, like Alex Strofe, or when we've got part-time Will producing the show, suddenly he'll start a new show group text involving all the people that are going to be there. So it's like he knows, but then he also obviously doesn't know.
Yeah, but part of it's don't care. Like my guy Richie Pounds, that is reply all worthy. That is reply all worthy. Right?
Yeah, I mean...
To which I did. I'm guessing, a few people upset.
I'm guessing there was wine involved in both of these instances.
Okay.
Of course.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm reading now the responses on the ESPN Milwaukee, the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. He's not alone!
Well, okay, but is it with the kid in the group text? Because I could see a situation where, like, you have a group text of friends, right? Like, you and your significant other are in a group text because you have similar friends, and then you accidentally send something to that group text that you meant to send to her. The child, the being the one-on-one with him, his wife, and the child, I think is what makes this unique.
Okay, I will give you that, Chew, because there are people, let me just read you a couple of texts before you give me what you want to say.
Yeah.
I accidentally sent a message to my daughter's daycare teacher the morning after a good night with my wife. The two of them talk about it to this day. So that was
a text chain
with wife and daycare teacher.
Yeah, you got to change daycares after that.
Yeah. Hold on, people.
There's no option.
What would have been worse?
You're telling me you're looking the daycare teacher in the eye after you send something a little promiscuous? Nope.
That from Lasagna in Milwaukee.
What would have been worse? Including my son or including Angie's mom?
Son.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because to your point, we know that our parents got it on. We don't like to think about it. So her mom, it feels like on the upside, there's more acceptance of it if you go up as opposed to if you go down.
Again, yeah. I mean, there are children in the family. They understand how that works.
Uh-huh. But he's 22 years old.
Yeah, but think about how you started this conversation being grossed out by the thought of your parents having sex and then trying to pretend it's completely normal. I have not.
We cannot and we will not move past the fact of you didn't make it even sort of like dance around the subject. You dove in head first.
Right, exactly. Like most people send like a eggplant emoji or a donut hypothetically speaking, of course.
Yes.
Just code it, a little bit.
It was explicit.
A little better.
And I love your ass is not something I would ever want to hear my parents say to each other. Gotta be honest.
I gotta be honest. I don't want to hear him say it to her.
I'm uncomfortable saying it.
You guys didn't even birth me. So Jim weighing in saying, I told my boss I love you while going back and forth with my wife and him on separate text chains. He still reminds me of this 10 years later. And I can't leave because, well, we're in love.
I mean, that one's a little, that one's understandable. That one you can recover from.
Angie had
a great one about a month ago. So Frank was seeing a girl down here and her and Angie were in the pool. So They did, you know, it was probably midnight. So the girl wanted to send a picture of Frank, and she showed a lot of cleavage. So Angie was supposed to send it to Frank, but sent it to one of her coworkers, Frank. To which he didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, no.
The response was weird.
Nope, because suddenly, yep, that gets...
So then 3 weeks later, Angie's talking to him on the phone and is like, are you going to send any more pictures of Frank's girlfriend? And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And yeah.
That's when she realized?
It happened.
Oh, my goodness.
It happened. Yes, that's when she realized.
I mean, you guys experience it. I send to the wrong text the group message all the time, but it's usually like innocuous work-related stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I often like also will text Mussolini things I'm texting to somebody else, and it's most often innocuous. There was one time I accidentally text the person I was talking about them when I was trying to text someone else. That was a tough thing to get over. What are you talking about here? Luckily, I didn't use a name, and I just pretended it wasn't that person.
But were you talking bad about them?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was talking about how annoying they were, and they wouldn't leave me alone. And
oh, like, I love it.
Like, so annoying. Yeah, I mean, I was not nice, and I don't think that person ever believed me. I just pretended like they did after that.
We got a number of people on the Carbless Talking text line who are congratulating Chewy on the sex. Chef Ed says, yeah, big dog, you go, Chewy. Todd says, Chewy, don't worry, you're not the only one. And Dave from Aaron says, nope, never happened to me there, Chew. However, who cares if people can't take the heat? They should get out of the kitchen. We got to take a break here on Jim.
No one wasn't in the kitchen. He was dragged in. It's not like he got in the kitchen. It's like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah. He was innocent.
Yeah. The yard possum from Lake Mills says, Chewy, you need an emoji, maybe a tongue or a peach. That's always the go-to. That's obviously a little more coded is the word we were looking for. You don't have to be so overt with your horniness. We'll take a break. Jason Wilde is coming up next on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
To get some insight from 1265 from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're still trying to get some images out of our head, but give us a few minutes. The Christian
Thanks
Watson.
Thanks for not putting it in mind.
Yeah, I figured. Merry Christmas to you. The Christian Watson.
Are you sure, Jim? I mean, we can share it, Jason, if you really want to know.
Nope, I'm good.
Okay.
Wise man, Jason. Wise man.
All right. Suit yourself.
The Christian Watson news
I assume it's related to Chewy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Jason, can you guess who started it all?
Yes.
You would be correct.
Familiar with your work. Yeah.
I hope not this familiar with his
work. Oh, boy.
The Christian Watson news went official yesterday. He is out for the season, I guess, with the ACL injury. And I had a question because I saw a tweet yesterday where people were talking about his contract and potentially it basically like rolling over. You have any idea what this is? What is this stipulation? What is this detail where if Christian Watson is on the PUP list for 2025, his contract could just sort of roll over and then he wouldn't hit free agency until 27? I'm unfamiliar with this.
Yeah, it's called tolling, but look, I don't know the specifics of his injury. I don't know how severe it is. I do know that T.J. Hockenson suffered a torn ACL and MCL on Christmas Eve last year. And so, and they didn't do his surgery until January 29th. And so he came off the PUP list after practicing for a couple of weeks on November 3rd. So I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's Packers fans that would like to keep him and looking at the possibility of that would be one way that, you know, they'd be able to keep him and it wouldn't cost them that much. But Christian Watson doesn't have any interest in that. Christian Watson wants to play football next year. Christian Watson wants to have a good second half of the season once he is medically cleared, and he wants to get a new contract, whether it's here or elsewhere. I just feel like, you know, T.J. Hockenson's timeline is probably the one that he will end up having to follow because they suffered their ACL injuries at similar times. Now, again, every injury is different. We don't know what other damage there is inside his knee. We don't know when they're going to actually do the surgery. But, yeah, theoretically, if he's not able to play at all next year, his contract can be tolled, and he would be he would just play the following year on the fourth year of his rookie contract. But let's be very clear. That is not something that Christian Watson wants to have happen. He wants to be able to play. Hockenson played the last 10 games of the regular season. He'll obviously play in their playoff game this weekend. But I don't know if that's just, you know, wishful thinking of Packers fans who'd like to keep a player that they like or whatever that is. But I would say that's a possibility, not a likelihood.
Jason, if they lose on Sunday, what will you say about this season?
Probably the same thing I said to Gabe and to Strolf in the trailer at Summerfest when we were talking about the season. I mean, I went from underselling them last year and saying they'd go 6-11 to overselling them this year. I picked them to go 12-5, and they managed to miss that by losing to the Bears. But what I said that day, and you know, I've recycled it multiple times since, is that they could be a better team with a better record and not get any farther in the postseason, or actually go less far in the postseason. And if they lose to Philly, that's exactly what will happen compared to last year. And so my point on that is not to pretend like I'm some sort of great prognosticator, because clearly I'm not. My point is that this is the process of becoming a championship contender. I was talking to somebody after the game, and he's old like me, and he said that this team reminded him of the 94 Packers, which you were obviously on. Like, you know, I understand everybody wants a Super Bowl, and I'm not saying that they can't go on a run. I think it's highly unlikely, but I'm not ruling it out. It's not a 0% chance. But the way you guys built toward being the 96 championship team, it was a process, right? I mean, 93, 94, you win a playoff game, and then obviously you don't get any further. 95, you beat the defending champs. It's really a benchmark moment for Holmgren and your program. And then you obviously have a lead on the Cowboys and then lose in Dallas in the NFC title game. And then in 96, not that it was perfect smooth sailing the entire way to New Orleans, but it was pretty clear you guys were that good. And so I still believe that it is a process of becoming a championship caliber team. And I stand by my statement that they're a year away. And if somehow they go on a miraculous three-game run here, they will arrive early. But I will look at this season as a step forward, even if it doesn't feel like that if they lose their first-round playoff game.
In what ways do you think they're a better team now than they were last year?
I think they're way better defensively, and I think they're only going to get better as they get more and more comfortable in the Jeff Hafley scheme. Let's not let the fact that they lined up their three safeties in out-of-gamey county on that final play change the fact that they've been pretty good defensively. They've added a ton of young talent. I think they're better because they all these young guys have experience. I don't think that they will be the youngest team in the league every year. But when you don't have top end of the roster old guys on your roster, your team average for how old each player is always going to be low. And they don't have anybody that's even close to that at this point, right? I mean, there's no one on their roster, especially if they move on from Jair, who'll be at the ripe old age of 28 if they do that, that they'll continue to be young. Now, I don't know what they're going to do in free agency. They obviously have a lot of cap space to work with. I would say that they have to rework their cornerback position. I would argue that they have to figure out better players that'll fit what Hafley does on the defensive line. I am curious. I know that there's a lot of Packers fans that have visions of T. Higgins dancing in their heads.
What's up?
You're one of them, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I think that they will, you know, I think they'll continue to augment the roster, but look, they've got a player in Edgerrin Cooper who looks like a big time stud. They obviously have decisions to make on Wyatt and Walker on the 5th-year option. But those guys are obviously under contract next year on the 4th-year of their rookie deals regardless. They're going to have opportunities to continue to grow. We've seen more glimpses, I would say, from Walker and Wyatt than we saw in their first two seasons. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, Jason. My issue is, though, after they did what they did against Chicago, my brain started rolling, and I went back and I looked at late-game situations where the team needed to get a stop, either to win or give themselves, you know, the ball back, like against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. I found 9 such situations. They only got the stop twice. Why have they been so bad in late-game situations?
Wait, how many of those are this year?
All of them. All of them. I can go through them if
they
you
had
want.
They had 9 games. This is really good. I may steal this.
Yeah.
They had 9 times.
9 times.
So where they had to get a stop, to get the ball back, to try and win the game?
Either win the game or tie the game. So, like, for example, against the Eagles, the Packers kicked a field goal, Jason, 7:52 left to get within 2. So, you know, get a stop, get the ball back, you get a chance to win. Instead, they give up a 16-play, 67-yard field goal drive and leave Jordan Love basically no time. They get the stops against the Colts and Rams. The Packers punted up 2 with 8:11 left against Houston, gave up a 13-play, 45-yard, 6:27 drive that they were, again, bailed out because the offense got the game-winning field goal. Same thing happened next week against Jacksonville. Punt with 3:50 up. 8-play, 87-yard touchdown drive to tie the game. Could have ended it there. They get bailed out with the field goal. Up 1 against Chicago, 7-play, 42-yard drive. They're bailed out because Rich Bisaccia saw something on film. They're able to block a field goal. Against Detroit, field goal to tie the game, 3:38 left, 11-play, 53-yard drive, game-winning field goal. Minnesota, touchdown to get within 2, 2:18 left, give up first 2 first downs to lose. And then, of course, what happened on Sunday against Chicago.
Wow. Great research. Yeah, that's not great, Bob. I don't know. I don't have a great comeback for that.
Okay, all right.
I still think they're
I agree with you, and when I look at you look at the numbers, like the raw numbers, just the total numbers for the 17 games are I mean they're a top 10 defense, right? I think they're 6th overall, 5th in points. Maybe I have those two numbers flipped around. So like the overall raw numbers are great, but then I look at the situational stuff and I'm going, okay, if they can be that good to put up those numbers, why is this happening?
And what's really crazy is I think they're pretty good on third down, if I remember. Like, I think they were top 10 in third down, at least going into the Bears game. But those situations where you need to get a third down stop and get off the grass, as they like to say, you're right. They failed to do that.
I feel like it was at like a 36% clip, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, and I think that had them in the top 10, at least going into the Bears game. And my point is, and I go back to what I said earlier, like, you know, first-year coordinator – who, I mean, let's be honest, and I'm sure Jeff Hafley will say this when we talk to him on Thursday, but, I mean, he screwed up, right? He had those guys in the wrong coverage. Mm-hmm. Never been an NFL NFL coordinator in his coaching career. Was a college coordinator at Ohio State, obviously was a head coach at Boston College, but, you know, he had some growing pains too. Now, again, in the grand scheme of things, they get the stop, they win 22-21, they're in the exact same playoff seed. So the damage is more to their psyche and to their confidence and to their overall record than it is to what it meant for their playoff seeding. But yeah, that's a mistake. There's no, you know, let's not pretend that just because I like Jeff Hafley that that's not a major mistake at the end of a game. So, you know, if you want to extrapolate this argument, Gabe, into whether or not they're going to keep that process going forward next season and then the season after that and whenever they get to a Super Bowl under this staff, then we have to talk about late game management, not just defenses getting stops, but, you know, making the right decisions with timeouts and mm-hmm. a variety of other things that I think Matt LaFleur is still improving with. Now, look, I say this about a coach who lost track of the downs in Super Bowl 32 and allowed Terrell Davis to score and had, you know, had to admit afterward that he lost track of the downs. But I feel like Mike Holmgren, more than anyone else during my time covering the team, and Chewy, if this is wrong, obviously you played for him, so you remember those years better than I do, which that pains me to ever say that you would remember something better than I do. But he always seemed to be able to handle those scenarios really well. Like, it just came naturally to him. Sherman, not as much. Mike McCarthy, kind of uneven. And at mm-hmm. this point, Matt LaFleur, I think we're kind of looking at that as, you know, that's an area that he needs to improve moving forward.
Jason, good stuff this morning. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. It is not just Gabe's list that is perplexing when you look at this 2024-2025 Packers team. Statistically, Joshy compiles numbers showing how elite they are in a boatload of categories, and yet still struggling against the top teams in the league, which happen to be at least some of them in their division. We'll dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
call
could,
it an
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
John weighing in on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on our ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. Let me throw this out there. Tyreek Hill wants out of Miami. Would you give him a 2-year contract? He has proven and still has speed.
No, thank you.
Not.
I'm good.
Nope. Out.
I'm good. I'm good on...
Why? Why?
Get under 1,000 yards and put on his team.
Yep.
There you go.
When you tell your team in the fourth quarter that you're not going in, I don't want you around my team.
Shades of...
Okay.
Well, so that's the thing.
Campbell.
So then,
Antonio Brown?
Well, yeah. So then he changes his Twitter profile picture to Antonio Brown running off the field shirtless, and he put his own head on Brown's body.
Yikes.
I don't want anything to do with that. I'm good.
But
there.
You will admit they need to do something other than draft one.
Yes.
Going into next year.
I would prefer that they did, yes. I don't know if they will or not. I'd prefer it.
But who?
Be good.
But who? I don't want Sammy Watkins, even though it was a hell of a blocker.
T?
I mean, you need more than that.
Yeah. Hopefully T becomes available.
Yeah, Gabe is not only a card-carrying member of the T. Higgins fan club, he's the president.
Yeah.
He's also the president.
Yeah.
Let me know if you want to go through the initiation process. We've got great, great options for fans right now to join the T. Higgins bandwagon.
But you need a number one, a good number one.
That's what T. Higgins would be.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you can't get him and the Bengals don't let him go, because if they do, they're foolish.
Yeah, but Chewy, they're not going to pay both those wide receivers. You know the Bengals. As you like to say, they're tighter than two coats of paint.
No, they are, but I mean...
And they are foolish.
They're good.
You got in trouble before for saying they were foolish.
Speaking of wide receivers, guys, we talked about it a little bit with Jason Wilde, the Christian Watson information that went public yesterday about the torn ACL. And I believe Jason even said, like, maybe we don't even know the full extent of the injury. There was likely some other damage there to the knee. Yesterday, Dan Orlovsky was talking about how Christian Watson's absence will affect this offense going forward. Take a listen.
How big of an impact is losing Watson for Green Bay?
Oh, it's huge. I really believe that that's the most impactful perimeter player that they have. Just because he's the vertical threat guy, he's not only the guy that actually makes plays down the field, but he's the person at least fears or puts the fear in defenses to go make some plays down the field. We're going to get into a lot of the 4-by-1 formation trend that's in the NFL, but he's one of the premier guys that they would put backside just because they could take their shots downfield. So while I do really like their pieces, I just don't think that they have enough vertical speed to really push the ball downfield, specifically against the Philadelphia defense. That's really the only thing you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, the Philadelphia defense, they are susceptible to explosive plays. That seems to be the one area where you need to take advantage of. And Christian Watson is, whether you like him or not, whether you think he has availability issues, whether you think he has durability issues, he does stretch the field. He is that explosive playmaker for the Green Bay Packers. Do you agree with Dan Orlovsky, Gabe, that this is a huge blow?
No, of course it is. He's been their most productive receiver, even with the time that he's missed, since the bye this year. I mean, he's been the only thing close to a somewhat consistent performer, and all four of the guys that we like to talk about have been incredibly up and down, but he's the one, especially with the addition of the run game and the way that they really focused on that with Josh Jacobs, he's the one that they've been taking shots to. He's the one that I would argue has actually grown this year and has gotten better from what he was a year ago. This is a really tough injury for the Packers to overcome.
It is, because without that speed, then it doesn't force you to play cover two, because cover two is what helps you over the top. So then they can do different things. I mean, they can get pressure with four, but now if you're playing cover three, it's much easier to blitz out of cover three than it is cover two. So that's going to be an interesting aspect. And then you go zone man. I mean, they're going to look what Minnesota's game plan was against the Packers without Watson. Yeah, it's a big blow. So this is, you know what, you know how they win the game? Other than turnovers?
How?
It's LaFleur has to kick the ever-living crap out of Sirianni. And if he doesn't, they're not going to win. That, I believe, is the only chance, other than the turnoff margin being 3-0 or 4-0.
Well, and the Eagles are a really good turnover team as well. Unfortunately, it's not like the Packers have the advantage there. The Eagles are also one of the teams in the league that actually are better, at least especially recently. I think I saw 4 takeaways and 5 takeaways in their last 2 games. So whereas you sit there and go, oh, the Packers are one of the best teams at taking the ball away. Great, they are, but the Eagles are just a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers can determine, I mean, postseason games so often, but they also take care of the football pretty well on that side. I mean, as good as Jordan Love has been as of late, the Eagles have taken care of the football as well. So yeah, if one team can, you know, cause a fumble and jump on it or jump in front of a passing lane, that is going to be a huge difference maker potentially when they play the Eagles.
You got to start
The other difference between cover two and cover three is cover three is a better run defense. Because it doesn't put your cover two, you have your islands in support on the outside. They're responsible for the flats and things, and your corners typically aren't great tacklers, you know? So cover three makes it a little difference, because then you add bringing a strong safety down into the box, and your safeties obviously are better tacklers than your corners. So for whatever that's worth.
So I want to be clear on a couple of things. One, So Christian Watson was banged up going into this game. Mm-hmm. Romeo Doubs was out with the illness. Christian Watson, I believe the story goes, went to Matt LaFleur and said, "I'm available if you need me," type of thing. Like there seems to be some confusion out there about why Christian Watson was on the field if he wasn't 100%.
So he went up to LaFleur and said, "Hey, if I want to play, if I practice this week," and he practiced, albeit in a limited fashion on Friday. And I'm guessing both of these things can be married and be true, right? Like, okay, he was limited. LaFleur probably didn't want to play him. But then the illness thing pops up on Saturday, so they want to be able to have him out there. And they decide, because, you know, they didn't want to make that many wide receivers inactive, okay, Romeo, you're going to sit. Christian, we're going to go with you.
And I also think, guys, this is one of those unintended consequences, Chu. I think it's an unintended consequence of Christian Watson being questioned, of the fan base getting on him and criticizing him for his availability. So Christian Watson, if there's a chance he can play, I think he wants to reverse that narrative, and he wants to put himself out there. Now, maybe you could argue that that backfired, and he shouldn't have been out there. But I think he probably had felt pressure from the fan base, from the narratives that surrounded him as a player, to be on the field even when he wasn't 100%. Fair or unfair?
That's fair. And the one thing I don't understand was, were they really trying to win the game, or did they care? Because they pulled a lot of defensive players in the second half when the game wasn't in hand. Correct?
The plan was to get up big,
yeah,
and then sit the starters.
I think,
which
I mean,
they weren't, but they still sat Kenny Clark and, you know, a lot of guys, like Jason was telling us, a lot of guys had limited snaps. Like Rashawn Gary only played 28 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to rest those guys, why wouldn't you rest Watson, who was banged up? And then just say, the hell with it. We got enough receivers. I mean, they had enough talent there to win the game, I think. Right?
Yeah, especially if they decided to go all in with one game plan. It kind of seemed like they were halfway in, halfway out with the way they wanted to try to do this.
And granted, I think it was just one of those fluke things. I don't think his injury had anything to do with it. It was a non-contact, just a weird injury, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Where you're resting guys in the second half on defense when the game is clearly not in hand, but you're playing a guy who didn't play the week before because he was hurt.
Well, and he might have sat the whole second half, but it happened at the end of the second quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he might have been on track to sit the second half as one of the starters, and the injury happened before the break. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to still get to this morning. So we've talked about the Christian Watson thing. We've got this list of the stats where the Packers are in the top 10 in many, many, many categories, and yet still have had some deficiencies pop up late in the season that could plague them in the postseason. And to Chewy's question, how do the Packers win when they play the Eagles? What will they need to do? What is the recipe to beating Philadelphia and moving on in the postseason? We'll dive into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, of course, you've heard us talk about it before, the Jewelry Center has to be the first stop. Let's be honest, probably going to be the last stop as well. Whether it's naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. And maybe you don't exactly know what kind of ring that special someone in your life wants, but if they have a Pinterest board for ideas, you take that to the Jewelry Center, and the great team that's been assembled by Dean at the Jewelry Center, that team of experts is going to point you in the right direction to help take those ideas and make that dream a reality. Learn more about the engagement ring selection or any of the other services, shoptjc.com, or stop in today. Three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Make sure when you go to the Jewelry Center, you tell them Gabe and Chew sent you.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is what we call a little curveball. Generally speaking, it's not just a radio term. Maybe you're familiar with curveball as well in your own industry. Joshy, what is this I hear? Evan Cohen was going in on our guy Gabe. Evan Cohen, our friend from Unsportsmanlike and former boss.
I got a text message out of nowhere that just said, did you hear me destroy Gabe? I said, no.
Did you say a little busy doing a show over here?
It was before the show, right before. They do a segment all the time. Where the producer, Pat, plays audio or gives a take. And this was not really about Gabe to start, but it ended up being about Gabe.
What did I do?
So there was a piece of sound that was sent to us from our good friend Amber Wilson last night talking about the Miami Dolphins and her fandom of the Dolphins and, well, maybe her not-so-much fandom of the Dolphins. Here's Amber.
I am a massive Tampa Bay Bucks fan. I don't know if you know this about me. Yeah. Now, given people associate me with Miami, you know, sure. I've been known to with the Miami Dolphins. But here's the deal. I actually grew up in the Tampa area. I'm back
Buccaneers
here.
Fan. Yes.
I'm back here now. You know, I'm born and raised in Sarasota, Florida. That's where I live again. It's only about an hour south of the stadium there at Raymond James. Obviously been to a lot of Bucks games. So I am die hard Bucks
fan.
Big
sombrero, yeah.
What are we doing, Amber? What are we doing? Why are we even pretending?
I also think, what are we doing? Gabe Neitzel interrupting her constantly. Stay out. Shut your mic off, Gabe. Jeez, nobody wants to hear from you when Amber's doing that. Anyway, but Amber, she's right.
Like you just interrupted Pat.
Yeah, it just happened right now.
Like you just totally cut Pat off and interrupted him. Pat?
Fair. Team Smallman. I'm Team Smallman here.
I was just trying to give some support to Amber. I'm filling in on a show. Yeah, I'm just showing that I had her back. That's all I was trying to do. Having getting after
me. Well, here's the problem. And I'll take a little credit for this. Oh, and Craig, when we have Craig on Friday, admit to this. Because this was about, I would say about 3 months ago, where me, Evan, and Craig were texting, I forget why, but I told Evan, I said, you need to get more balls on the air. You let those guys beat you up. And Gabe, you could text us. I said it to him, and he said, thank you, but now I'm wondering if I took it a little too far, because he's taking shots at my guy.
I'll tell you this, Chew, right now. Knowing Evan as long as I have known Evan, he did not need any encouragement from you to take shots at me.
Yeah, you guys have a weird relationship. Don't they?
Yes. Very strange. The little bit of the glass houses thing happening there, as Smallman pointed out. But I also didn't think that you were interrupting egregiously. Like, there have been times on this show where someone starts talking, but we have a little stream issue because, Chew, you're remote, and I think you're done talking, but you're not done talking, so I jump in, but then you keep talking, so I stop, and then you stop, and it becomes the whole thing, right? Like, I think radio, that's happens sometimes, where you think someone is done talking, or, to your point, Gabe, you're trying to offer a little support.
Yeah.
Trying to offer a little backup.
That's all I was trying to do, just letting Amber know, because, again, I'm filling in. I hadn't worked with Amber in a while, you know, doing Amber and Ian last night. Just wanted to know, hey, the Buccaneers are your team. I've got your back, as you've decided to make that switch.
Yeah, Evan just got cut off at the knees there when he interrupted everyone else. I mean, he was interrupting the audio clip that was being played and then interrupted Pat. It was...
Evan should worry more about stop being a pretty boy on TV and just worry about content.
Well, now we got to send this
really,
back to that.
Geez, I'm stop dressing like you're 22 years old. Dress like you're the age you are.
Which
I mean,
is what,
some of his outfits,
How
I'm
do
like,
you think
really?
Evan is?
He's probably a little younger than me, 50 something. Is that fair?
Oh, God.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
Well, I've done my work here.
He's not a girl.
He's gonna get crushed. Oh,
how old is he?
He's 29. Jules. Clearly, he's 29.
Once again, weird relationship, Gabe.
Yeah, he abuses
Why, was I way off?
You and abuses you, and you come to his defense. What is this, Stockholm? What, he got Stockholm?
Like my job.
Over here? We'll take
How old is he?
I'm going to guess high 40s.
Oh, that's not that bad.
You said 50.
Zuh.
The S doesn't do anything for you there.
That's the way it works.
He could be 59 then.
Oh, we'll be right back.